Friends, in Christ's grace and mercy and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus. Amen. I'd like to share with you again just a part of our epistle reading today from the first letter of Peter. Peter writes, "But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. Have no fear of them, nor be troubled. But in your hearts regard Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect, having a good conscience, so that when you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. For it is better to suffer for doing good, if that should be God's will, than for doing evil. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God." This is the word of the Lord. Well, there are still some things I remember about my high school years, although that's been a lot more years ago than I really care to admit. But I attended Iowa City High School in Iowa City, Iowa, which was my hometown. And one thing that I very vividly recall is when I took driver's ed. In those days, driver's ed classes were done in the high schools. And there was this special trailer that was parked in a small parking lot in the back of the high school. It was a mobile classroom. It was set up with driving simulators. And there was a movie screen on the front wall, and then there was a middle aisle with driving simulators on either side of the aisle. I don't know, maybe 8 simulators or so. And you would sit there in your simulator with your hands on the steering wheel at 10 and 2 and your feet on the pedals ready to go, and the movie would start and the view would be out your windshield and it would look something like this. Matter of fact, I think this was a picture of me from 1974. I'm pretty sure I remember that scene from the movie. But really, one scene that I really do remember in particular, the movie had us driving down a street in what looked like probably a suburban neighborhood with a car right in front of us doing about 25 miles per hour, when all of a sudden the brake lights on the car in front of you came on, and then you quickly had to get onto your brakes. And this was all pretty high-tech stuff back in the 1970s, and they could measure each student's response time getting to the brake pedal, or they could tell whether you turned your blinker on soon enough, or whether you turned on your wipers when it rained. Another thing I very clearly remember out there in that trailer was our instructor standing up there in front of the classroom, constantly repeating his favorite driving mantra. Over and over he would say this: "Get the big picture. Get the big picture. If you want to get safely where you're going, you've got to be aware of everything that's going on around you." Now, I'm not so sure I understood in those days why that was so important, but I understand now. There are a couple of reasons we really need to see the big picture when we're driving. First of all, if you stare at one thing while you're driving, you will tend to veer in that direction. That's not good. But the biggest reason for getting the big picture, of course, is that if you're focused on any one particular thing, you will miss something else that's happening around you, like brake lights coming on right in front of you, or maybe a ball bouncing out into the street, and that can be disaster. So you've got to get the big picture if you want to get safely to where you're going. In this epistle reading today, Peter writes a letter to some churches to try to get them to see the big picture of what's going on in their lives. Because you see, these churches were struggling. They were having a difficult time with what it means to be a disciple of Jesus. They did not expect that being faithful to Jesus would arouse the hatred and the opposition of the world. And Peter's fear for his beloved Christians is that they would become so focused on the price that they had to pay as disciples of Christ that they would lose sight of the bigger picture of what God was doing for them in Christ and maybe even lose their way entirely. You see, sometimes Christians interpret suffering in life to mean that something has gone wrong. Like Bill and Janelle, who began having problems with their longtime friends. They had been part of a circle of friends for many years. Their children had all grown up together. Their children had been to scouting together. They played on the same sports teams, attended the same high school. And the friendship of these parents grew up around and had always revolved around the children and all of their activities. And they became such good friends that they even celebrated their graduations together. They attended each other's weddings, even celebrated some of the births of some grandchildren. But now, with the kids all up and grown and out of the house, children were no longer the focus of their lives. And their conversations with their friends were starting to become more and more political all the time. Events that were reported on the news became sources of arguments. And Bill and Janelle tried to articulate how they as Christians felt about things, how they viewed things, but their faith was starting to put a strain on their friendships. And they wondered if they should just keep their mouths shut, keep their faith to themselves, because it really hurt to think that their faith was getting in the way of their friendships. And Bill even commented once to his wife, "Having friends that you can be honest with shouldn't be this hard." But it is. It is that hard. Because when Jesus called us to follow Him, He called us to take up the cross. Faithfulness to Jesus is not easy. Not now, never has been. And Satan would tempt us to focus so intently on the cost of being faithful that we will finally come to the conclusion that it's just not worth it. That we should just put down the cross, keep quiet about our faith, and keep the peace. That's what was happening to the Christians in the days of St. Peter. That's why he wrote this letter to them, to encourage them. Always be prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you, yet do it with gentleness and respect. And why do that? Because there is more to the Christian faith than the hardships associated with following Christ. And we need to see that bigger picture if we're ever going to get safely to where we're going. You know, when we think about Peter, we think, well, it must have been easy for him to be faithful. He is the one that Jesus enabled to walk on the water. He climbed that mountain with Jesus and offered to build those three booths. He drew out his sword and he fought for Jesus at the Garden of Gethsemane. You know, if I had had those experiences, it would be a lot easier for me to pay the price of faithfulness. But do you notice Peter does not ask us to consider what he did as a disciple? Instead, he asks us to focus on what he saw. As Peter said in his second letter, we were eyewitnesses. You see, Peter wants to be remembered not for what he did, but for what he saw. He saw the miracles. He saw the lives of people changed. He saw the crucifixion. He saw the risen Lord. He saw the Lord Jesus ascend to heaven, to the right hand of God. And seeing these things through the eyes of Peter helps us to see the bigger picture of what God has done for us and is doing for us through His Son, Jesus. Peter had witnessed firsthand how God enters into the sufferings of His children and triumphs over them. How God uses the sufferings of His children for His kingdom and for our good. You know, paying the price for faithfulness to Christ is not a flaw of the Christian faith, but a feature. And when this world reviles us and scorns us and says terrible things about us, we rejoice, because we know that that is how they also treated God's prophets, and that we are in good company, and that our reward in heaven is great. And so Peter reminds us, God has worked out our salvation precisely through suffering. And so Peter writes, "For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that He might bring us to God." Without the sufferings of Christ, we would still be in our sins, still separated from God. But because He suffered, the wrath of God is appeased. The power of sin and death and the devil have been utterly defeated. The righteous one died for the unrighteous to make us members of God's kingdom. And now this same Jesus is risen and ascended to the right hand of God and is able to enter into our suffering so that by it He might bring about the reign and the rule of God. That's the big picture of what God is doing for us through His Son. In baptism, we were saved like Noah's family was saved in the flood. Now we have a good conscience toward God because our sins have been washed away. And we have a friend in high places at the right hand of God, the one to whom all authorities and powers are subjected for our good. So we cannot focus so intently on what it costs to be faithful to Christ that we forget the bigger picture of what faith in Christ has benefited us. The forgiveness of our sins that brought us to God. And we will never have to join those spirits who are kept in prison. For ours is the kingdom of God's beloved. Consider Melissa, a college student who was determined not to be silent about her faith. In a writing class, the students were assigned to journal their responses to the things that they were reading. Well, she was reading her Bible, and so she decided to use the assignment as an opportunity to journal her responses to what she was reading and to express her faith. But her journals were not well received, either by the professor or by her fellow students. Her grades were docked. Her name was mocked. But through it all, she never lost sight of the big picture. You know, it's hard these days on a college campus to be faithful to Christ. But through all of it, Melissa never lost sight of the big picture. But she remembered her confirmation verse. And guess what her confirmation verse was? It was these verses from the letter of Peter. "But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. Have no fear of them, nor be troubled, but in your hearts honor Christ as Lord." Faced with the high cost of discipleship on that secular campus, Melissa found her strength and her confidence in Christ, and she trusted that the one who had died for her and risen again and had ascended to the right hand of God rules over all things for the benefit of the church. That is the big picture that we must keep in sight if we're going to make it safely to where we are going. Let us pray. Lord, please help us never to lose sight of the big picture of what You have done and are doing for us through Christ our Lord, that we may not be overcome by any opposition of this world, but would instead bear witness with gentleness and respect to the hope that we have in Christ, our risen Lord. Amen. May the peace of God that transcends all understanding guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ unto life everlasting. Amen.